Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Where will each chapter take you? June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. After a stressful take on the valley, there's nothing more relaxing than playing a round of June's Journey. I take in all the glamorous culture of the 1920s, scandalous family secrets, and explore and even build my own vivid sceneries. So can you crack the case? June needs your help, detective. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of It All Happened, recapping Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 8.
This one's Peaks and Valleys, huh? Wonder why they named it that.
I don't know. Wonder why.
I don't know, but I hope that everyone that watched it also watched The Valley.
Yeah.
What an iconic transition.
That transition was so good.
Kristen got goosebumps all over her body.
I did.
When we were watching it. It was pretty cool.
We'll talk about it at the end. Let's jump into the VPR of it all. We are halfway through Vanderpump Rules season.
Halfway through. Well, aside from the reunion. But we are getting there. So this episode is interesting. I actually found it a little more entertaining. Tom Sandoval is like the comedic relief. I think some of the awkwardness is so funny.
You were giggling.
I was giggling. It was good. I've also, hate or not, you can hate me if you want, but gotten to know Tom better. And aside from antics and public perception, I do think he means well. It just doesn't have his head wrapped around the way some things are perceived sometimes, which I'm guilty of at times as well, that I can definitely come off very brash and very like literal, and it gets taken the wrong way and not the way I meant to deliver it.
Well, we do those, like, our Vanderpump always opens with, like, they're brushing their teeth and they're doing this and, like, you know, cutie little Summer Moon's picking out her dress, right? But I just had to stop and make a comment about Tom Schwartz putting on his teeth whitening strips with his, like, mud mask on. And then girl Jo is there and her banner says, Tom Schwartz's friend who totally does not live with him.
Oh, it's so funny. It reminded me
of like a Bachelor banner or Bachelor in Paradise banner where they're like, Daniel, Canadian, or like so-and-so wishes they were an influencer or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The funny banners. I love it.
It's hysterical.
So this season opens up at Tom and Ariana's house.
This episode. Yeah.
Episode opens.
At the pool party. Tom's getting ready to have a pool party. And this shit is just awkward. The whole episode, how they're like, now they're finally showing what it's really like when Tom and Ariana are cohabitating but not speaking, because they're in the house at the same time a few times on this episode. So Thomas's pool party, Ariana's FaceTiming with Katie about her dinner, that Katie's getting ready to go to dinner with Lala. And it's just like so awkward. Like the pool party's happening, people are coming over, and then Ariana goes downstairs, like kind of side eyes out of her sunglasses and leaves. I would be like so freaking uncomfortable if I'm, number one, living with an ex is just weird. I did it with Tom for like a very short period of time. But like, you're in your own home and you go downstairs and there's a party full of, I don't even know who half those people were. And you just have to like go, okay, well, go have fun at your party.
I know Kyle Chan is, and he was there.
Kyle Chan is like probably the only one I knew.
Oh yeah. And we'll throw this out before we get further is that I was also invited to this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Kristen essentially talked me out of going.
Yeah. I mean, I said, you can always do whatever you want, but I was like, this is not a good idea.
And
I'm really glad you did not go.
And becoming like, now that I'm on TV or whatever, I do look to Kristen for some advice. I don't have a publicist. I don't have someone or a manager or someone being like, hey, that's not a good idea because of the, you know, for these reasons, because he's really pretty hated person right now. Being seen with him might not be good for your image.
It's like, not even that so much that I felt. It was more that like, Ariana's my friend. This is really messy. Also, they are filming Vanderpump Rules. I don't know what the hell is going on in Vanderpump Rules land while they're filming. And looking back now in hindsight, like, had you been there with a bunch of freaking strangers and Kyle Chan, like, you're there with your friend, but all these strangers, a girl's topless in the pool. No.
Look, Kyle Chan told me there's a ping pong table and he wanted to play ping pong with me over there. So I was like, you know, that actually sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, but anyway. I'll be damned. So I'm glad you didn't go.
So this pool party, the talk that the Toms have is a little awkward. And obviously Schwartz is trying to be, as Sandoval says, diplomatic in this situation. He is trying to be the one kind of bringing people back together. Schwartz is still Sandoval's friend. At the same time, he doesn't want to be burning bridges by being just his friend.
Right.
Right.
It's so, like, he's trying to be, Schwartz is trying to be Switzerland, but also the Kumbaya circle leader.
Right. So anyway, they have their talk. Schwartz leaves.
Well, and Schwartz says, like, I can't be your wingman. Like, Ariana lives here. Like, you cheated on your ex-girlfriend. Your ex-girlfriend still lives here, and you're bringing girls over to the house that you both share.
Right.
And Schwartz is like, this is like muddy waters. Like, I can't do it. I'm not getting stuck in this quicksand, which is really smart of Tom Schwartz.
Yeah, you know? That makes sense. I see his side of things.
But then there was a weird part for me where Billy Lee is like sitting next to Sandoval in the hot tub. And then I think they were in the hot tub or in the edge of the pool. And she's like introducing Tom to, like, I think she said it was her girlfriend or like or her friend that's a girl. I couldn't remember. But then she says in this really like sexual sounding voice, she was like, so like, what's going on? Like, or who else is coming over? Is there going to be an after hours situation? I'm like, what? And Sandoval even goes, no, like, we can't really be out, stay up too late and like, you know, have crazy time because Ariana and da 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 da. And the way I took it was like, are we going to have a wink, wink after hour situation with the girls you're bringing over and then the people that are here? And I don't know. It just really, I felt ick from head to toe.
It did seem a little bit of a push to be more dirty.
Yeah. And I don't know if I even believed it or if she was just trying to like sound that way on television. It was just really weird.
So they cut back. They're cutting back and forth between
right.
Katie and Lala's lunch and their lunch. We can sum it up pretty quick. They're at the Henry. They both apologize. They're back to being friends.
Right. They're basically saying like, you hit below the belt. Well, you hit below the belt. Lala acknowledges that she needs to be more gentle. She feels that sometimes Katie's like on this war path. And I think they're both kind of acknowledging that even though they might have the best of intentions, or especially Katie saying to Lala, it's like that, or maybe vice versa, but that the intentions are not mirroring what is the actions are. You know what I mean? So like, they're both saying like, well, I felt this way, but they're still like popping off at each other.
Right.
And then Lala, as she's saying, like, I would like to be more gentle. Katie, she's also asking Katie to be more soft with her. I don't feel Lala is very gentle these days. But maybe that's
doesn't
a personal
seem so.
Thing.
However, I mean, it does show they're obviously willing to acknowledge their own things and they came to an agreement and that's that. So they're good now.
Yeah.
So back to the party.
Yeah, back to the party. Well, really quick, I have to make this comment. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but when Sandoval is talking about how it's not easy for him to like talk to girls because it's been so long and he doesn't, you know how to, I don't know if he said flirt, but he was just like, I don't know how to like get back on the horse kind of a thing. And I just kept thinking of back in the day when I first started hanging out with Tom Sandoval, like 16 plus years ago or something, like about 16 years ago, he had Tony Robbins DVDs all over his bedroom and like books. And he would tell me like how he would approach girls. And like, you never stand square on to them. You always stand like at a 45 degree angle. So you don't look so confrontational or like as if you're like really truly hitting on them. He had all these like weird little ways. And then he makes that dumb joke about how I crushed the potato chips and like slide them under the door. Tom, get a new joke. I've been hearing that joke for 16 years. It's just like these fucking dad jokes that he has that everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. I'm like, it's not funny.
I don't think people have the same experience as you do. Mm-hmm. I did not think that was a funny joke. It was awkward. So I chuckled at the awkwardness.
So it made you laugh.
No, what made me laugh was the reaction, like the production of it. Like the way showing the girls' faces, their reactions to his jokes and him jokingly be like, yeah, so if I told you about my roommate, whole conversation, I was like, oh my God.
Sorry, I did kind of jump to the end of that. But for those of you that watched, it's like how it started. He's like, oh, you see a text that says Michelle. And then like these young, very young looking girls, blonde, cute, tiny girls walk in. Yeah, and that's what he says. Like, so I told you guys about my roommate. No, it's my ex.
Yeah, it's my ex.
Like 10 years.
Of like 10 years and I cheated on her. But you know, hey, I've never been married, but I might get married in the next year. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. That's what he said. I might be married by next year. And we're all just sitting here going, what the fuck is going on right now?
No, it's hilarious because it is showing him trying to flirt and it's not landing great. And then the awesome interview clip of him saying, you know, I think I'm, you know, it's like riding a bike. I think I'm getting back.
His mojo back.
Getting my mojo something. Back. It was just so funny. Such great comedic relief.
Oh my gosh.
Other people might just be grossed out by it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. But then, so the party kind of, that's it. That's what we see of the sexy single pool party that Ariana likes to call it. And now we're back. We're still kind of, we're back at Tom and Ariana's house. And Sheena comes in and Ariana's telling her about this sexy single pool party, as Ariana likes to call it. And Sheena and Ariana have this conversation, like Ariana sort of just rips the Band-Aid off and says, like, I've heard that you're upset with me. I heard that you're mad at me. And Sheena's kind of like saying that she's not as upset as she was then, that she had some feelings, she had to vent them out. And it feels like they're kind of like, now that there's not a lot of noise around them and people's opinions, they're able to just have this one-on-one conversation. And Ariana says, I should have told you. And Sheena says, I'm not as upset as I kind of was in the moment.
Yeah, and that makes sense. They ultimately talk it out and they talk about Tom. And the big thing for Ariana is she feels that Sheena really wants her friendship back with Tom.
Right. And Sheena says she does miss the Tom that she was friends with. And Ariana's like, even acknowledges like, of course, that person was great. But for Ariana, there are no glimpses of that person anymore. Right.
Oh, and that makes sense. I absolutely understand that side of things as well.
I do love the Ghost, the movie Ghost, Whoopi Goldberg quote. She goes, you in danger, girl. So good. Oh, that's so funny. Good.
You want to jump to Tom and Joe?
Oh, God, let's jump to Tom and Joe. The more awkward. This is just the awkward of the awkward of the awkward of episodes.
You know, I guess the thing that really, you know, I'm starting to feel bad for Joe now.
Yeah.
Tom saying he could probably marry Joe and be happy, but that's not where he is in life. Like, that line has to sting.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And then he also, so he says that, but right before that or right after, I can't remember when they're getting ready to get on the boat and they're talking about turtles because that's just who Tom and Joe are. So you do get to see like how they have like similar personalities and similar quirkiness and all of that. But then in the same breath, he says, without knowing that much about you, you would have a turtle. But then he's like, I could see us getting married. Without knowing that much about you, it's just like such a weird juxtaposition for me.
I mean, I get being able to have that vision early on in like a flirtatious infatuation type stage, being like, oh, I could see myself being with this person.
For sure.
Without
Welcome to
knowing
the Bachelor,
you better.
You know?
Exactly. Without knowing you better. 100%. The turtle story, you know, I hate to call it out, but that did not seem like a real story at all. It kind of seemed like a Jax Taylor story where you just
had a turtle, but now here's this embellished.
Yes, exactly.
Story.
There was a story
I've never heard, I'll tell you that.
There were aspects of it that were true, but it made a better story if, you know, she was walking and it fell into a sewer and now it's a Ninja Turtle. Like, right. That is
Hilarious.
More funny of a story, but I think the only true part maybe that she had a turtle. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe. For sure. I don't know for sure, but that's how it felt to me.
I'm just saying I've never heard that story, but yeah. Whatever. So then Joe tells Schwartz that she's going to go hang out with Allie, and she wants to know about her birth chart as well. She needs to know what is written in the stars for her. And then it made me like, I'm not going to lie, it made me like clench. Like all, like my vagina, my butthole, like my hands, my mouth, my armpits, everything just tensed up when she was doing an interview bite and she calls Katie Tom's jealous ex. And I'm like, oh, honey, I wish I could rewind the tape and take that away. You don't know Katie well enough to know. And as we see at some point, like Katie brings up the text that Joe sent her when Katie and Tom announced their divorce, where she was like, I love you. Bieber loves you. Like, I'm here for you. You're such a sweet soul. Blah, 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 blah. And then like 5 seconds later, she moves in or, you know, temporarily goes and stays with Tom Schwartz. But she's calling Katie a jealous ex. Katie's not jealous of Joe. I'll tell you that right now. Katie could appear maybe to the viewers as a jealous ex. I don't see it that way. I just think Katie's still has a lot of feelings. She's still salty about Tom. And when she's like, so we broke up and now that is what you're, this is what's happening.
Right. And it, you know, it just has to be amplified and that much harder being in the same friend group and work group. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like.
Right. She can't, yeah. Like, none of them can get away from it.
Exactly. It's not like you can just completely unplug. You don't move across the country and go do something else. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, I found another group of friends that gives me a break from being around this all the time.
Right.
You still have to see it all the time, and being together as long as they were together for more than a decade, right?
Yeah.
So that's like, it's not just a jealous ex.
I totally agree. I thought that was like pretty shitty thing for Joe to say when you're suddenly given this tiny little platform to be on a show that Katie has been on for a billion years, you know?
Exactly.
It just seemed bratty, but anywho. Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? If you have kids, have you started seeing a little more of your scalp? Maybe menopause impacted your hormones and your hairline. And when it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted whole-body approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as for different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. Physician-formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol's supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning as they evolve throughout a woman's life. Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in just 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair, and for a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code DOTY. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code DOTY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code DOTY. Let's get on to more awkwardness.
Let's get to the Belmont. Everybody's there for the first time this season.
This is like the whole crew minus Brock. So Brock was, and Brock was obviously with Summer is what we're guessing because yeah. Brock wasn't there. And literally right when Luke goes, wait, where are they at right now? And I was like, oh, they're at the Belmont. And then we start seeing everyone trickle in. And then we see Katie and Ariana trickle in. And Luke, do you remember what you said?
This is going to be fun.
You go, oh, this is going to be fun.
Like I said, this might be my favorite episode of the season so far.
Oh my God, it was so awkward. And then Sandoval's obviously trying to be nice and complimentary to people. And he's like, hey, Katie, I like your hair. And she just does this like rolling eyes thing at him.
She says thanks. But then, yeah. Like, and then kind of shifts away.
Yeah.
Right.
She goes, thanks.
It's like reminiscent.
It's like almost saying like, I know.
It's kind of reminiscent of trying to talk to Jax for the first year that I met him. It's like, I'd say something, try to start a conversation, one word response and fade away.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's, yeah.
Awkward.
Saw that, a little awkward.
Yeah. And then obviously, as I said, like Ariana comes in, no one's really expecting Ariana to be there at all. And everyone's like very surprised by this entrance. But Ariana says like, this is a group thing. This is obviously a bar that we call it kind of like our Cheers. It's like the place that we've always gone for ever since I've lived in LA. So she says like, this is a moment where she's like, I can't let Tom affect the rest of my life, which I thought was a nice little leaf that Ariana turned, that she's not going to be home alone when all of her friends are out and it's in a public place. So she feels that she can handle this.
Right. I completely get it. There can be someone you don't like or you have a visceral reaction to, at least for me, can be in the same public space. It doesn't mean you have to interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, everyone moves off in their little bubbles and their little circles. They have their conversations and everything.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, it can be done.
And I think 100%. I think it always, especially right now, should and can be up to Ariana what she chooses to go and do. Like Luke, as you know, you've been with me where I've been in that situation. Sheena had a birthday party. It was at a rooftop hotel. And I found out James Kennedy was going to be there. And I purposefully do not go places that I know he will be. But am I going to miss one of my closest friends' birthdays because he happens to be at this giant rooftop pool that's open to the public? No, I can just stay away.
Exactly.
It's more important for me to be with my friend than it was to avoid that. So I was proud of Ariana for showing up.
Okay. You want to get into the Toms and Sheena talking?
Oh, boy.
This, you know, started off, it seemed like it started off well. They're talking about the pool party and guys' night. And ultimately, Sheena gets to telling Sandoval that an apology to Katie would go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he certainly didn't help things when they were going through, when they were opening the bar and they were going through their tough time, Schwartz and Katie, and that maybe that was an apology that never happened. Maybe not. Maybe. It sounds like it wasn't an apology that happened or an acknowledgement.
Right.
So he's not having it at the time. And James,
it turns into an accountability fight.
It does turn into another accountability fight, right? And then like James kind of yells at him at the end of that scene, like, Tom, you're going to burn every bridge around you.
Yeah. And then Sandoval freaks out. He's like, it's always my fault. Like, I'm not groveling anymore. We've all made mistakes. And that's where things get tough with this group. And I think really in any friendship or relationship is that it can be very difficult when you have feelings. Like, I'm not saying that Sandoval is wrong. Everyone in that group, for the most part, has made mistakes. It's true. But what Sandoval's issue is, which is something that Jax does as well, is, and something I used to do 100%, is do the, I know, I am sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And then when you get pushed to a point, instead of, all he had to do was either walk away then or just say, okay, I think we're not seeing eye to eye. Instead, he flips the script and says, well, it's not, what I did wasn't that bad because look at what all of you people did. And all of a sudden that apology or those sincere words kind of just fall to shit.
Exactly. It's completely negated. It gets overshadowed.
Correct.
By, yeah, this huge dark cloud comes over and you forget about anything else.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, obviously a pattern we've seen.
Yeah. So. And I wanted to touch on something, just like a little insider's info for those of you that may not remember this or do not know. Sheena comes up to the bar and says she didn't come to the Belmont for years. And I don't know if you guys remember why Sheena didn't come to the Belmont for years. So at the time, Belmont was under a different ownership. So we can talk about this. But I believe it was season one, right after our reunion. Sheena and some friends, I was not there because we had to go to Vegas, some of us, for a job. But Sheena and some friends went to the Belmont. And Sheena slipped. There was like spilled beer. And I've seen this like surveillance footage. It'll never leave my brain. It's so gross to watch. Sheena slips on the beer and she catches herself with her hands and then her face hits the floor. And that's how she broke her teeth, which we saw in like season two. She's upset about the tooth surgery. Remember the tooth gate?
Like, yes, of course. Yeah.
So that's what happened at the Belmont. She really did fall. Like, I'm surprised she didn't break her face, but...
Well, you just broke your face, so you know what that's like.
I sure did, and I sure do. It's not fun.
So let's keep going with Brock and Sheena. They're with Summer at their place.
Yes.
In Marina.
And Summer looks like Moana. She's so freaking cute.
Summer's adorable.
Oh, my God. I just love her so much. But this was a scene that, Luke, I was just getting eyes burning into me. And I was like, yes, you're right, Luke. Yes, you're right. Because Luke and Brock are very similar. And Sheena and I are very similar in a lot of ways in the way we are in our relationship. Brock saying that he knows Sheena doesn't like change. She's not good with change. And I just kept being like, oh my God, Brock sounds like Luke. What were your thoughts?
Exactly. I'm like, this is why I like this guy. This is my favorite dude in this whole group out here.
Yeah.
We do have a lot in common and very similar thoughts on things. And I think you know, and the ways that he's good for Sheena are very much the same the ways that I'm good for you, and
was
vice
there anything
versa.
Specifically like resonated with you in that?
I mean, specifically, I think we just need those little drawing boards for when we're going to fight.
Oh my God. How good was that? That was like, that's another reason why I love Brock. And he like turns it around and has a little sad face.
With a tear.
With a tear.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And they just start laughing. But basically what they're conversing about is this new nanny babysitter that they're having come over, Gabby, and really trying to give this a shot now. They've tried with Tori. Obviously, we know Tori got busy. Sheena's only comfortable with her mom and her sister. So they're like, let's just give this person a shot. Like, it's going to be okay.
Right. Great conversation. Mm-hmm. Great diffusing something that could have gotten heated. I thought it was, oh, it was all good and sweet.
Yeah. I like watching the two of them communicate on this show. I think it's very relatable.
I agree. So now we're back to Tom and Ariana's house. Mm-hmm. It's the main point of this episode, essentially. They're there most of the time.
Right. So Katie and Ariana are at Ariana's and they're getting ready to have a game night, like host a game night. So they're getting the snacks together and the drinks together and all this stuff. And we find out that Sandoval's upstairs in the gym working out. And Katie's just like, man, this is freaking awkward. Like, he's going to be up there while we're doing this. And Ariana's like, I don't know. I hope he's leaving. I'm not sure. And Sandoval comes downstairs to make a protein shake. Well, we get a text from Anne that says, Tom wants to come down and make a protein shake. So Ariana dips out. Katie stays. And then Tom and Katie try to have a conversation. Tom apologizes to Katie for having any part in causing fights that could have led to her divorce. And, you know, Katie's being tough on him. And I will say, like, I think Tom handled that whole situation really well.
I agree.
I did think he was trying to humble himself, truly. And I think he was kind of having to bite the bullet a little bit, even as Katie was, like, not giving him this opportunity. I just, because I was around for all of that, I do see why Katie is holding a bit of a grudge. But at the same time, I think Tom handled it very well.
So I wasn't around for that. And until right. this, I didn't even know that that was part of Katie's animosity. I thought that it was all stemmed on being ride or die for Ariana. I didn't know that that also existed. So that does add some context
right.
for me, understanding Katie's side of things here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's good. And I do think it was really kind of handled well by both sides. Katie got to say what she needed to say. Tom took it.
Yeah.
It seems like he apologized. He bit the bullet, even though the last time we saw them talking or this come up, when Sheena brought it to him, it didn't seem like he was going to be willing to do something like
right.
this.
And so, he didn't deflect this time. He didn't get like moody, antsy, angsty. He didn't deflect. He didn't go, you know what, Katie, fuck you. You did this, that, whatever. He just said, okay, like, okay. You know, you're allowed to feel this way kind of a thing, and excused himself. And I think it's probably the best we've seen him handle any of these instances thus far.
Yeah, I think it was good. Definite progress. And so Schwartz comes over, and upstairs they have their whole conversation, you know, about Rachel, mm-hmm. essentially.
And Sandoval saying he's been journaling every single day at home. He's been crying about Rachel. He kind of has a breakdown. Something that bugged me a little bit, though, is he's talking about the journaling and how this is really good for him. But then he says he's doing it because it makes him feel closer to her, not doing it for himself and for his better well-being. He's like, well, I know she's journaling and she's not drinking, so I'm journaling and I'm not drinking. Like, oh, my God.
We're not him. We don't know the level of feelings, and to have some really strong, call it love or not, you know, it hits people at different times, love or infatuation, whatever, to feel like something is where it's going next. And I'll say, not excusing the way he did things by any stretch of anyone's imagination, but in the past, it seemed to work for quite some time when he kind of did the exact same thing with you and Ariana. Mm-hmm. And it worked for almost a decade.
Right.
So I think in his head, that's the direction it was going to go. And this was the next step of him being happy for a long time again, mm-hmm. and it falling apart. Trying to get inside his head. He's an emotional guy. Like, he probably is still clinging on to that for it to come to such an abrupt end like it did and not have any communication. Yeah, I'm sure that does still weigh on him.
Right. And Schwartz is just like, you know, like, Sandoval's breaking down in the closet. He's like sobbing hysterically, and Schwartz is awkwardly sitting in the chair at the other side of the room, like not sure what to do. And Schwartz is like, trying to comfort him in a way of like, I think this might be like the tail end. I don't think this is life and this hate is going to continue for you. Like, it's going to be okay. And then in Schwartz's interview bite, he's saying like, he just doesn't know how to help Tom. He's racking his brain. He's there's got to be someone, like some friend who has the expertise, because Tom needs good friends.
Oh, I laughed and said, dun, here comes Jax. Who else could it be? Who else could an old friend that has experience with being cheating and being hated for it?
Mm-hmm.
Who else could it be? Jax isn't there yet. We've got some more scenes. Yes. I just immediately like that. There's your foreshadowing. Who's coming?
Yep.
You know, Tom's line. Feels like Scott Peterson and Schwartz is like, didn't he kill his wife or girlfriend? Because allegedly.
Oh, God.
Makes me laugh.
So we get back to, we go downstairs to Ariana's party, and they're playing Never Have I Ever. And this is just kind of one of those fun, light, silly scenes. And what I did think was funny, I mean, Sheena's made this very public as far as Vanderpump Rules that she's, you know, hooked up with celebrities in the past. She's been a part of threesomes or an orgy, whatever. But I did not know Brock had, and I just thought it was funny because that's why they could be so comfortable sort of saying it in front of each other, because Brock was like, I mean, I was in a room where two guys were hooking up and there's a girl, whatever. It's kind of an orgy, I guess. And then she cut to Sheena's bite, and it was like, wait, who did you have an orgy with? And she was like, let's just say my body is a wonderland.
And she did throw out, well, there was an A-list celebrity there, or there were A-list celebrities, and let's just say my body is a wonderland.
I was reading some of the comments, and people were like, number one, John Mayer's not an A-list celebrity. Number two, why would you admit that? Like, all these crazy comments that were more against him. But we've heard a lot of John Mayer sex stories over my lifetime.
So, yeah, a funny little Never Have I Ever clip.
Yeah.
So next thing, we show the guys' night, everybody talking.
Well, we see a text that's like they show a text on the screen between Schwartz and Jax.
Right.
So now we know, if you didn't already see the foreshadowing that Luke felt, now you know Jax Taylor is coming to guys' night.
Jax is coming to guys' night. So all the guys are there. And the first talk is about Joe being...
Brock's like, well, Schwartz, what's up with Joe?
Secret girlfriend, mm-hmm. You know. He says he just wants to be single, etc. And in comes the freight train that is Jax Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seemed like he kicked down the door with a machine gun of words. It's just like, I'm going to let you have it from the start, and we'll go from there.
It was really, really intense.
It was intense.
I was physically uncomfortable and so glad I was not there. So glad. Although it would have been entertaining. I'd rather watch it on TV. And Jax is obviously ripping into Tom about all the bad things Tom has done and how the whole world's talking about it. So why can't Jax talk about it too? But then when he says something about opening his own bar, and he goes, I mean, you guys are the last guys I'm going to ask advice for on opening a bar. Like, damn, Gina.
And then says, I saw a picture of you the other day. I swear you looked like you were 50 years old.
Yeah, he's like, you look better. You know, you look like you're looking better. You're doing better because I saw this photo of you. And it was just like, what else, bro? It was really rough and tough. And Jax is just like, what? We can't not talk about this stuff. And I feel like it just turned into this like dude cat fight for a minute. He's like, you're me 7 years ago. And then finally Jax calms down. He says, okay, dude, sorry. I just had to get that all off my chest, but I still have your names tattooed on my arm. Tom and I didn't get it, you know, covered up, and they hug it out. And then we have the most glorious transition I've ever seen in my life.
We can't skip past the Joe and Allie. Joe getting her astrology reading from Allie at a bar. To me, summing it up just says, oh, you're in this house and this is a house of friendship. So, you know,
it's basically like, saying, you're in the friend zone.
Hey, yeah, you're in the friend zone. And then she, being the nice girl that Allie is, it's like, well, sometimes it's best if you're best friends. You know, I know a lot of people that are friends first and then they end up being married and super happy. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, what a wild ride for Joe and Schwartz here. It's weird.
It's
definitely
weird.
Awkward.
Yep.
But Sandoval's last line, though, about Jax, saying how Jax doesn't love anything more than celebrating other people's failures. I'm like, ooh.
It's not wrong.
It does seem that he enjoys that.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, is just that that's how Jax deflects. Like, Jax and Sandoval are very similar in a lot of ways and very different in a lot of ways. There's no like gray area with them. It's either this is how they're exactly the same, which is why they fight, and this is how they're total opposites, which is why they fight.
Right. So anyway, that was just a real awkward guys' night thing.
Well, it goes from catfight to calm, and then they like hug it out.
They hug it out and leave, which is kind of how guys do. If you're going to have words, you pretty much, you typically get over it pretty quick.
Okay.
I think, at least to me, guys hold grudges a little less than women.
Probably.
And I don't mean that to be a sexist thing. It's just an observation.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you.
So
I think women sometimes like feel the hurt more, the pain more, the like,
right,
and then try to reason with it and the, like be logical about it, which can feel impossible. So you're right.
Right. So they had their words, shook it off, hugged it out. And Jax comes right to the valley with the interview chair change.
It was so good. He gets up from the Vanderpump interview chair, walks off set, walks onto the valley interview chair. You can tell we have a green screen in the back. Then they make the green screen look like the valley. And welcome to the valley, bitches. It was so cool.
It was very cool. So I'm on TV now.
And we will talk more about the valley on our next episode of Sex, Love, and What Else Matters, because we will have Brittany Cartwright on. So stay tuned, and we'll jump right into Valley Episode 1 and what else is to come.
Yes, look for that in the next day or two. Yeah. It's coming out very soon.
Love you guys so much. Hope you enjoyed Vanderpump. Hope you enjoyed the transition. Just like full circle from my first season of Vanderpump Rules with our transition from Housewives. Hope you love the first episode of The Valley. It is only going to get hotter and crazier.
It is going to get crazier. The first episode's not even crazy.
No, not at all.
But we'll save it. We'll save it. We got to go talk to Brittany.
We got to go talk to Brittany. So we'll all talk right to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening.
Make sure to follow us on social media. You can follow me on all platforms at Kristen Doty and follow Luke on Instagram at Luke_Broderick. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date with new episodes every single Wednesday. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.